Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the midst of a great revolution, a revolution in Israel's standing among the nations. This is happening because so many countries around the world have finally woken up to what Israel can do for them. Those countries now recognize what brilliant investors like Warren Buffett and great companies like Google and Intel, what they've recognized and known for years, that Israel is the innovation nation, the place for cutting-edge technology in agriculture, in water, in cybersecurity, in medicine, in autonomous vehicles, you name it, we've got it. Those countries now also recognize Israel's exceptional capabilities in fighting terrorism. We have saved countless lives. I stood here last year on this podium, and I spoke about this change in Israel's standing around the world. And just look at what has happened since. In 1 year, hundreds of presidents, prime ministers, foreign ministers, and other leaders have visited Israel, many for the first time. Of these many visits, two were truly historic. In May, President Trump became the first American president to include Israel in his first visit abroad. In July, Prime Minister Modi became the first Indian Prime Minister to visit Israel. And I had the honor of representing my country on 6 different continents. 1 year, 6 continents. I went to Africa, where I saw Israeli innovators increasing crop yields, turning air into water, fighting AIDS. I went to Asia, where we deepened our relations with China and with Singapore and expanded our cooperation with our Muslim friends in Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan. I went to Europe, where in London and Paris, Saloniki and Budapest, we enhanced our security and economic ties. I went to Australia, becoming the first Israeli prime minister to visit our great allies down under. And just last week, I went to South America, visiting Argentina and Colombia. And then I went on to Mexico, becoming, if you can believe it, the first Israeli prime minister ever to visit Latin America. After 70 years, the world is embracing Israel, and Israel is embracing the world. UN decisions about Israel, that simple recognition is too often absent. It was absent last December when the Security Council passed an anti-Israel resolution that set back the cause of peace. It was absent last May when the World Health Organization adopted, you have to listen to this, the World Health Organization adopted a Syrian-sponsored resolution that criticized Israel for health conditions on the Golan Heights. As the great John McEnroe would say, you cannot be serious. I mean, this is preposterous. Syria has barrel-bombed, starved, gassed, and murdered hundreds of thousands of its own citizens and wounded millions more, while Israel has provided life-saving medical care to thousands of Syrian victims of that very same carnage. Yet who does the World Health Organization criticize? Israel. So is there no limit to the UN's absurdities when it comes to Israel? Well, apparently not. In July, UNESCO declared the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron a Palestinian World Heritage Site. That's worse than fake news. That's fake history. Ladies and gentlemen, despite the absurdities, despite the repetition of these farcical events, there is change. Slowly but surely, there are signs of positive change, even at the United Nations. Mr. Secretary General, I very much appreciate your statement that denying Israel's right to exist is anti-Semitism, pure and simple. Thanks to President Trump's unequivocal support for Israel in this body, that positive change is gathering force. So thank you, President Trump. Thank you for supporting Israel at the UN. And thank you for your support, Ambassador Nikki Haley. Thank you for speaking the truth about Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, here at the UN, we must also speak the truth about Iran. President Trump rightly called the nuclear deal with Iran, he called it an embarrassment. Iran vows to destroy my country. Every day, Iran is conducting a campaign of conquest across the Middle East, and Iran is developing ballistic missiles to threaten the entire world. In a few years, those restrictions will be automatically removed, not by a change in Iran's behavior, not by a lessening of its terror or its aggression. They'll just be removed by a mere change in the calendar. And I warned that when that sunset comes, a dark shadow will be cast over the entire Middle East and the world, because Iran will then be free to enrich uranium on an industrial scale, placing it on the threshold of a massive arsenal of nuclear weapons. Now, in the last few months, we've all seen how dangerous even a few nuclear weapons can be in the hands of a small rogue regime. Now imagine the danger of hundreds of nuclear weapons in the hands of a vast Iranian Islamist empire with the missiles to deliver them anywhere on Earth. That's why Israel's policy regarding the nuclear deal with Iran is very simple. Change it or cancel it. Fix it or nix it. Nixing the deal means restoring massive pressure on Iran, including crippling sanctions, until Iran fully dismantles its nuclear weapons capability. But above all, fixing the deal means getting rid of the sunset clause. And beyond fixing this bad deal, we must also stop Iran's development of ballistic missiles and roll back its growing aggression in the region. Iran spreads this curtain of tyranny and terror over Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and elsewhere, and it pledges to extinguish the light of Israel. Today, I have a simple message for Ayatollah Khamenei, the dictator of Iran. The light of Israel will never be extinguished. Netzach Israel lo yeshaker. Those who threaten us with annihilation put themselves in mortal peril. But I also have a message today for the people of Iran. You are not our enemy. You are our friends. Israel is committed to achieving peace with all our Arab neighbors, including the Palestinians. Ladies and gentlemen, in this year of historic visits and historic anniversaries, Israel has so much to be grateful for. 120 years ago, Theodore Herzl convened the first Zionist Congress to transform our tragic past into a brilliant future by establishing the Jewish state. 100 years ago, the Balfour Declaration advanced Herzl's vision by recognizing the right of the Jewish people to a national home in our ancestral homeland. 70 years ago, the United Nations further advanced that vision by adopting a resolution supporting the establishment of a Jewish state. And 50 years ago, we reunited our eternal capital, Jerusalem, achieving a miraculous victory against those who sought to destroy our state. Theodor Herzl was our modern Moses, and his dream has come true. We've returned to the promised land, revived our language, ingathered our exiles, and built a modern, thriving democracy. And we look back with wonder at the remarkable, the miraculous rebirth of our nation. And we look ahead with pride to the remarkable contributions Israel will continue to make to all nations. You look around you, and you will see these contributions every day. In the food you eat, the water you drink, the medicines you take, the cars you drive, the cell phones you use, and in so many other ways that are transforming our world. You see it in the smile of an African mother in a remote village who, thanks to an Israeli innovation, no longer must walk 8 hours a day to bring water to her children. You see it in the eyes of an Arab child who was flown to Israel to undergo a life-saving heart operation. And you see it in the faces of the people in earthquake-stricken Haiti and Nepal, who were rescued from the rubble and given new life by Israeli doctors. As the prophet Isaiah said, "Unetaticha og laguim liot yeshuati ad kzeh haaretz." I have made you a light unto the nations, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. Today, 2,700 years after Isaiah spoke those prophetic words, Israel is becoming a rising power among the nations. And at long last, its light is shining across the continents, bringing hope and salvation to the ends of the earth. Happy New Year, Shana Tova from Israel. Thank you.